Well, once again, happy Thanksgiving. I know a few people trickled in since we began the Mass. It's beautiful to be here with you. And it's wonderful that you came to give thanks to our Lord, first and foremost. That's the ultimate Thanksgiving, right? He gave us life. He's breathed eternal life into us through baptism, and then increasingly so through the sacramental life of the Church. And we have so much to be thankful for. And so, yes, for family, for food, for all the, for even for bad football that we usually have on Thanksgiving, right? It's usually not the games usually aren't very good. But we're thankful for this wonderful day to celebrate the bounty that He's given us. Believe it or not, that's where Thanksgiving came into place. You know, it's not some kind of secular holiday. It's actually Thanksgiving to God. So here we are. And we see in this gospel passage that it's very instructive. You got the one guy that's a foreigner, the Samaritan, comes back to give thanks. He realizes the beauty, the profundity of the blessing, and the other nine guys probably take it for granted. I know some scripture scholars kind of argue here and there. I'm of the mind that they're like, oh, I'm healed. Awesome. Great. Let's move on. How often does that happen to us? You know, they cry out at the beginning. What do they say? Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Forgive me, Jesus. I need your help. In the confessional, that might happen. It might happen when you have anointing of the sick. It might happen like charismatic healing. Sometimes people are healed from ailments. There's a number of different ways. And then he does. We're like, oh, thanks. Okay, Jesus, back to the closet. Now I'm going to go live my life how I want. And then, you know, maybe a month or a year or 2 years. Oh, Jesus, I need your help again. And then, oh, thanks, Jesus. See you later. That's kind of what's going on here, right? Jesus profoundly heals these people. These are lepers. So we have to remember in this time, well, even to some degree in our day and age, there still are like leper colonies. But back in these, they were total outcasts. They couldn't even come into the town. They couldn't even go near people. If people started coming up, they had to shout, they cry out, leper, leper, so people would know, and they wouldn't come near them. Because they were so terrified of the skin disease. They didn't know how to deal with it. And so to be healed of this was a really big deal. Now they can go back into society. They can go back to their families. A lot of possibilities are open now. And so these other nine guys, you know, for whatever reason, don't come back to thank Jesus. And oftentimes it's us, the very chosen ones, that we've become part of His own body. And He heals us and He strengthens us. Every time we receive the Eucharist, our venial sins are healed. Every time we reach out to Him in prayer, He answers. Not always the way we want, but He answers our prayer. But often we take so much for granted that He's given us. When I was in seminary, I don't know how it was. I didn't ask Father Matt about this, but Mount Angel, where I was at, there were a whole bunch of the guys that were in the seminary were converts. And so they're on fire. And then there's, you know, me and other cradle Catholics are like, oh, yeah, we're at the seminary. Okay, you know. And these other guys are just on fire. They're just, and it's another similar thing. They realize a gift that I've had my whole life. They've been given this gift. They realize the Eucharist. They see the Eucharist in a different way. They see the priesthood in a different way oftentimes. Because we just kind of get used to these things. And so we don't realize every single time we receive the Eucharist, Jesus is giving us everything. Absolutely everything. He's not holding back at all. And we waltz up, oh, yeah, okay, pretty awesome, Jesus. I know you're probably not thinking that, but in a way, that's what happens when we just come up and we don't even think about it. We don't prepare ourselves before Mass. We don't prepare ourselves as the offertory is being taken up. Sometimes that's kind of like a halftime of the Mass, right? You know, as people start talking and when the music starts playing and people are laughing, and that's not a terrible thing, but what's about to happen? We're moving into the liturgy of the Eucharist. It's absolutely amazing. The greatest miracle ever is about to happen, and it happens every time we celebrate the Mass. And so we're meant to take note of that. And then when we receive, then Jesus is going to be able to do a lot more healing because we're a lot more open to receiving from Him. And don't get me wrong. He wants us to laugh. He wants us to have fun. He doesn't want us to be miserable wretches, but there's a time and a place, right? And He wants us to choose that appropriately. Now, St. Paul in our second reading is kind of barking up the same tree. I give thanks to my God always on your account for the grace God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. there's the grace again. He healed every single one of us at the moment of our baptism from original sin. And he continues to strengthen and heal us. The grace, that's the primary grace that Paul's talking about here. But throughout the sacramental life of the church, throughout our prayer life, it continues to happen. I give thanks to my God always on your account for the grace God has bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. He's made you members of his son's own body. You're part of his son now. That in him you were enriched in every way, Paul continues, with all discourse and all knowledge. Not just a little bit. Not just feeding us little trinkets here and there. All discourse and all knowledge. You've been enriched in every way. It's all there for the taking. God's not stingy. He's offering you everything right now. Everything. Me too. The problem is we're not open enough to receive it. Because part of that everything means that we're going to have to change, right? In order to be able to receive fully from him, we have to let him flush the junk out of our hearts and our souls. And that's usually not fun. And we kind of know that. Even if we don't think explicitly, implicitly, we know that it's going to require change. So Paul continues to thank God because in him, in Jesus, you were enriched in every way with all discourse and all knowledge as the testimony to Christ was confirmed among you. So it's taking root amongst the Corinthians, and they're praising the Lord, and they're evangelizing. They're unafraid for people to know that they're Christians. So that's how the testimony to Christ was confirmed among them. It's confirmed among you. You showed up here on Thanksgiving Day. That's evangelization right there. That's you're here, and that's a beautiful thing. You could be somewhere else. You could be watching bad football. You could be doing a number of other things, but you're here, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. Part of not lacking in that is this, what he's talking about, the testimony to Christ is confirmed among you. So it's not just that he gives us these gifts, we share them with others. That's how you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we should await with great wonder and awe and anticipation. Not hiding, not cowering, not terrified, but come, Lord Jesus. You've heard me say it many times. If we're in communion with him, we have absolutely nothing to fear. Some of us, maybe even me most of all, might have a little pit stop on the way to heaven. You know, might have a little time in purgatory. But as long as we're in communion with Jesus, our destiny is guaranteed. He's already prepared a place for every single one of us. We just have to say yes and do our best to walk with him. That's what Paul's getting at here. And if you do that, he will keep you firm to the end. He is Jesus here. Well, he is actually God the Father, irreproachable on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be irreproachable when the heavens and the earth are capitulated, that when Christ comes to renew everything, irreproachable. So that when that happens, we spend eternal life with our Lord forever, body and soul. Paul continues, God is faithful. We're often not, but he is faithful. God is faithful, and by him you are called to fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He calls us. It's not like we do God a favor by coming to Mass or by praying. He's always calling us. He initially called us. He continues to call us. And he is faithful, and he's going to keep calling us, even when we're unfaithful. He's going to keep offering his love. He's going to keep offering his mercy. He's going to keep lavishing all these goods upon us. Because he loves us and he wants to spend eternity with us. Again, we just need to say yes. And now a quick look at this wonderful reading from Sirach today, talking about all these blessings that we have. And now bless the God of all who has done wondrous things on earth, who fosters people's growth from their mother's womb and fashions them according to his will. Allow him to fashion us according to his will. That's the best life you can live. May he grant you joy of heart and may peace abide among you. May his goodness toward us endure in Israel and in Bozeman to deliver us in our days. It's his grace. It's his peace. It's his love that delivers us. We just need to keep saying yes. And we won't go into the responsorial, but thanks and praise to the Lord. It opens us up in so many different ways. Instead of saying, Lord, you didn't give me what I want. I've been praying and all these things that Father Joe tells me to do, and you didn't give me a new Lamborghini, or you didn't, you know, whatever it was. Come on, Lord. You didn't take away all my problems. Let us thank the Lord for what he's given us. And then we realize more and more and more how much he's lavishing upon us. And then we're blown away. We're just blown away by how generous he is, by how much he loves us. And then he becomes our preoccupation. We're grasping for him, not the things of the world. We're grasping for him. And that's when we become these beautiful children, these beloved children that he created us to be. Indeed, the saints that he created us to be. So friends, let us give thanks to the Lord each and every day. Not just today, each and every day. But especially when we come to Holy Mass. Think about that when you're hearing the priest preach, when you're hearing the readings even before the homily, and then during the Eucharistic prayer, it's all building up. It's a crescendo, to use a musical term. And then when you receive the Lord, boom, that's the climax of the Mass. It's not just some kind of formality. Everybody walks up here and receives. That's the climax. So let us continue to give thanks. Let us continue to allow the Lord to inebriate us with his goodness so that he becomes our preoccupation. And then we're going to live the best lives possible. The life that he created you to live and me to live. And we're going to set this place ablaze with his holy fire.